Hey guys, it's Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and I'm here with another awesome online success cast where I talk to people that are making the web and the world a better place and are making a great living doing it. Today I'm here with somebody I've known for years and years and years, and I don't even want to think about how many years. 2004, I believe, is when we met, and she's taught me a lot over the years. I was in a mastermind group with her where she was one of the leaders, and I learned a ton from her, and I owe a lot of where I am today to just watching what she's doing and learning from what she showed both in her teachings and what she showed by what she was doing. And so anyway, the person I have here with me today is Alice Seba. And if you want to learn more about Alice, I want you to go to uncoveringexperts.com/Alice. And I'll repeat that a few times throughout the interview, and we'll have a couple other links for you too so you can learn more about what Alice has going on. Welcome, Alice.
Well, thank you, Nicole. I think 2004 sounds about right.
I think so, because I joined Solo Masterminds in 2005, in February of 2005. So it was either the end of 2004 or beginning of 2005 where we started to get to know each other. And we've crossed paths many times over the years. All right, Alice. So tell us about your business and how it got started. I know your business has evolved completely like mine has, you know, over the years. So I want to be able to hear it from the beginning.
Yeah, well, it's 11 years now, I think, in March. I think March would have been 11 years. I didn't celebrate my anniversary. Uh-oh. Well, it started, I guess, you know, before the start. You know, in my young adult years, I kind of always had this entrepreneurial bug, but I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I actually ran a tutoring business for a while, but driving around in my car, I was tutoring some kids, some college kids and things like that, English as a second language. And, you know, it just didn't seem to suit me. I was doing that. I kind of dropped that, but I still, you know, had this feeling like I wanted to do something on my own, but it didn't really come. You know, the feeling didn't feel urgent until my first son was born. And so when I was on maternity leave in 2002, the desire to find my own way was definitely stronger, and was determined to find a way, you know, I could stay home and avoid going back to work. Actually, luckily in Canada, we are actually blessed with a year's worth of maternity leave. So I actually had some time to figure this out and figure out what I was going to be doing. So that's when I started to use the internet to search for ways to work from home. Again, you know, I wanted to be at home with the baby. And I did what the common thing for moms to do, and that is to look for a direct sales opportunity. You know, the Tupperware, the Pampered Chef, and all those things like that. And at that time, I wasn't much into cooking, although I'm very into it now. But so I joined actually with a kids book publisher. But I realized that, you know, direct sales isn't actually a home business. You have to book parties. You got to bring out all your stuff a few times a week just to make a little bit of money. So instead, I thought, I got to go back on the internet. There has to be something there. I have to be able to figure out a way to, you know, this internet thing is awesome. There has to be a way to earn a living. So I connected with, you know, a lot of the work at home mom communities that I'm sure you were a part of, Nicole. And, you know, I asked them, you know, could I just have an online business? And they're all saying, no, you can do some things online, but you still have to you could supplement your earnings basically online, but you couldn't really do it all online. And I was sure that these people were wrong. So I was just kept looking for ways to do it. And in the process, I actually started internetbasedmoms.com, which I don't own anymore, but it was a resource site for moms who wanted an internet-based business. So while I was learning, I created this resource for other mothers to come along, because even though they told me it wasn't possible, they also told me that it would be, you know, a fantastic thing to have. So it actually grew to be a popular resource, and also it was, you know, a partial beginning to how Solo Masterminds, then called Mom Masterminds, came to be, as you know, Nicole. And along the way, I was offering content and copywriting services, and I really was starting to carve out an internet home for myself. So it's always been about content. creating it for different niches, working with clients and seeing, you know, how also to make, bring results to myself and those that I was working with. There were, you know, some twists and turns there throughout, but eventually I found myself just focusing on the content thing. That's why now today, you know, I have the PLR businesses, a ghostwriting business, and really teaching people about content marketing and making that work for them. I've always loved writing, and, you know, as a child and even as a teenager, I actually imagined myself as a writer when I grew up. I imagined myself as a teacher, actually, as well. Teacher and or writer. And, you know, look what happened. Of course, I imagined myself, you know, as a fiction writer or a poet or something like that. But, you know, I think what I've done is even better because my family is much better well-fed than if I was to be some starving poet or something like that. So it's, you know, it just was a desire to be home with the kid. Well, at the time it was one child, but it was grew to be three children. And, you know, using the resources I had and then the abilities I had to write. And I just want to share that with people. And that's where it went.
And it's so funny because our paths are so, they're parallel. I mean, I started with the same direct sales book publishing company.
Oh, really?
And then I did the, I got into the work-at-home mom scene. I was trying to figure out what wasn't a scam, what I could possibly do online. And so I started my site, showmomthemoney.com,
right,
at the same time approximately that you had internet-based moms. And then we both got further into the content and PLR business. So it's really funny
that's funny.
All along, my husband's always like, that Alice Seba, is she in your brain?
Spying on me?
It's funny. So, why do you think content is so important? You've built your entire business around content. Can you say what content is and why it's so important?
What did you say? I have to say what content is?
Yeah.
Okay. it's really evolved a lot. Actually, you know, I think back in the day, content was pretty much articles on your website and things like that. But now, you know, we've got the ability to video and images as well. I mean, I remember when we in 2002, if you would put like 5 pictures on one page or something, and they could be tiny little pictures, they would slow the loading of your site down so much that, you know, you were basically working with text. But now we've got video, we've got, you know, infographics and other, you know, people are using images in other ways. Social media is even just little snippets, little tweets. That's content. Everything that gets out a message that makes people think, that gives people information, makes them laugh, whatever, you know, whatever emotion it is, it's something that reaches people. Now, also, you know, putting the marketing portion in there, there's a purpose to this content, whether it's, you know, connecting with your very targeted market or also selling products or warming people up to the idea of certain products. And I think that's, and it's important because this is what people are consuming. They're coming online. You know, again, this has changed a little. You know, if I was having this conversation with you in 2003, I would say people come online and they search. They go to the search engine and they search for something, how to, you know, remove a stain from my carpet, whatever it is. And they go and find your website. But now today it's a little bit different, but people are still, what they're consuming is content, whether they're going to social media first or whether they're going to YouTube first. It's content. That's how to reach people. You're not reaching them with sales pages. It's the content that drives them to the sales pages, or it's the content that drives them to the mailing list, to sign up to your mailing list, and then drives them to your sales page. Content should really, there are exceptions, sure, but it's, for most of the part, it's the content that's driving people to the other parts of your business where you want them.
This call is content.
Yes, it is.
Definitely. What I like to think of content as is a way to inform, educate, inspire, and connect, which is pretty much exactly what you just said. So, yeah.
But in a nice way, though.
Well, I had time to jot it down while you were explaining. All right. So what are the top three things that you have done to grow your online business over the years, Alice?
Well, guess what the first one is.
Right content.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, when I first started, you know, people were using content. There were articles online, but not to the same extent as they are today, you know. And I don't, maybe there was someone out there calling it content marketing, but it was not a phrase that was used very on. I was lucky enough to find the power of it really early on. At that time, search engines were like a breeze. It was so easy to get traffic from search engines. I miss those days. But I am so glad that I did it at that time because, you know, I was able to build a site with thousands of visitors every single day, like, you know, and it was fast. It happened quickly. It's different now, and I no longer have that site, so I'm in the same boat as everybody else. But it you know, now it content gets shared through social media, through still search engines, and through other means, and it's still super important. So, you know, I also learned early on that when I was publishing all that content, and I would mention a product, it was like, whoa, people are buying it. It's it's a great way to warm people up to knowing what they might need to buy next, and it works very well.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is. Now, the second thing, which goes hand in hand, is copywriting. It's, you know, learning copywriting skills is super important. You could be a great writer, very interesting, but you need to have that persuasion piece as well if you want it to be building your business. Persuasion is a way of being persuasive. Use the same word to explain the word. But I mean to really get people excited about something and not feel like they're being sold, but, you know, that you're excited about something, you're showing them, and it's, they're feeling like, yeah, this is what I should do. Luckily, I realized the importance of learning it early on. Also, you know, I learned it through courses, through seminars. Also, you know, getting to know people who also had really good copywriting skills. That was super important, which brings me to number three. The number three thing would be making friends. You know, you can't get around it. And I still, like, it's the thing I drill into most. You know, people, when I do some coaching things with them and, you know, we're talking specifically about email marketing or we're talking about another aspect of managing their affiliate program or something, it always comes back to people. You have to get out there. You know, a lot of people try to build their businesses in isolation, and they may get to know a few other people who are doing online business, but there's no big connection. There's no plan to work together or meet people in their own niche. That's important as well. Knowing people means you get to share skills, experiences. And it just makes everything faster. And that was something that I was lucky to learn early. And that certainly made a big difference because everything goes much faster when you know people.
And it's more fun.
It is. That too. Very good point. Because a lot of people would tell me too back then, like, you know, it's kind of lonely working online. I'm like, I've never felt lonely because I always was talking to people.
Right. I have Skype open. I have Instant Messenger open, and I'm always chatting. What are we going to do today?
I'm not that friendly, but.
Well, not all the time, but at least in the morning when I'm having coffee and planning my day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm checking in with my friend Susanna, and we're like, what are we going to get done today? And then Melissa pops on, what are we going to mail today? And you know, then Kelly's like, what are you doing today? But, yeah, so I'm a chit-chatter. All right, so between the content of developing the relationships, making friends, having the relationships, and the copywriting, the persuasive piece of getting people, not getting people to do things you want them to do in a bad way, but telling them what you have, why it's good for them, and how they can purchase it if it's a good thing for them.
Yeah.
I mean, that really, those are the big parts of business.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah, you can use copywriting in a different way and try to trick people, but that's, you know, that's not what I'm talking about at all, obviously. It just, and you do, I see you do it all the time too. You want to make sure that it's the right person buying the product, not just everybody should get this. It's, you know, it's if it's right for you.
And I do say that in my emails and in my blog posts, yep. too. I say, okay, do not buy this if.
Yep.
This is only for you if,
yep.
you know, and explain to them. Because some classes are really more advanced, and I've gone through them, and I know if a beginner buys it, they're not going to get any benefit out of it. Or if a blogger buys a course that's about, you know, copywriting, it may not be the right fit for them at that time. And so, yeah, I'm always trying to use copywriting to educate people as I'm telling them, you know, what they should do next.
Yeah.
And sometimes I tell them don't buy it.
Yeah, and that's period. But that's important too, not only because, you know, it's a long-term plan, you know, of connecting with those people, because those people who didn't buy it are going to appreciate it and realize, thank you for keeping me from wasting my money. And then when it's time for them to buy something, they're more likely to trust you.
And sometimes they go ahead and buy it even after I tell them not to. And in that instance, they trust me even more, too, because they buy it and they go, you are right.
Yes, right.
I'm going to listen to her next time.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to tools. What are the three tools that you couldn't live without in your business? And if you could, three ones that are free and three that you've paid for.
Okay, well, interestingly enough, I'm not actually big into tools, but I use them every day. That's obvious. But there's not one I couldn't really live without it, because if I lost it, I'd be screwed. So I prefer, you know, I find trouble answering these types of questions, because I prefer to focus on the resources and skills that we have and work to ensure that, you know, that all those things can be applied even if we're using a different tool or something different happens. But, you know, I can play along. If I was to choose the top three, you know, I'd say WordPress. Obviously, you know, a lot of the sites are built on WordPress. And reluctantly, I am moving a lot of them over from my HTML pages that I loved so dearly for so long. But moving on up, I guess. But yes, it's a wonderful tool. It's an easy way for people to get started. And the technology is so easy, even though there's still some technical things. But, you know, people say, oh, you have to keep updating your scripts. But how easy does WordPress make it? You click a button and say upgrade, and it's
right.
done for you. It's just something you have to remember to do. You don't need the technical skill to do it. Installing it might be the first tough part, but you know, even I figured that one out. I guess Google Analytics, obviously, you know, whether it's analytics or it's a different stats program, any stats program that you're using that shows you your numbers, your conversions, and helps you know where your traffic's coming from and where it's going to, obviously is very important. And for the third free one, I'm going to say collectively as a group, social media as a way to connect with people. And that includes forums. I'm kind of counting every bit of social stuff, because each network has its, I think, positives and negatives. So I'm going to put them together, because they're what makes it easy to keep my connections alive and growing. And I've even like seen this really strange phenomenon where some people I used to converse with email, and now they're always messaging me through Facebook. Being there in a place where they are comfortable communicating and want to communicate, then it's important. So it's a very important tool in that way.
I do like what you said about tools, though, because honestly, if any tool that either one of us uses went away, and that's happened over the years, then our business would not die. We would just have to adapt. So no tool is really, you can't live without it. I mean, even if Word for Windows or a hosting company or, you know, WordPress went away, any of those things, we can still adapt and work around and still survive. So that is an excellent point that nobody else has brought up. But I mean, we used to create sites in Front Page, so we've
I do.
We've been
moving away from this year, though.
I still have Dreamweaver. I use it sometimes for certain things when I'm struggling with WordPress. So
yeah, you can have so much more control over that HTML. That's why I've hung on. Like, well, WordPress is HTML too, but you know what I mean.
Right.
That,
yeah.
I like
exactly.
that control. But there are more WordPress tools that give you more control over the pages now, so that's what I like.
Definitely. And then we even used a tool called Excite Pro for a while, and then that went away.
Oh, yeah.
And And there was Joomla some of us were using for a bit, and, you know, now pretty much WordPress is a standard. But if WordPress went away or something else came out that was better than it, we would adapt, adjust, and move on. It's just what you do in business. So that's an excellent point. Okay, what about your three paid tools that you not can't live without but really use a lot in your business?
Well, yes, and these ones are very important because I would definitely have to replace – well, I'd have to replace those other things too. But anyways, autoresponder, I'm going to say first. I'm giving it the generic name, autoresponder. Obviously, email is super important. I use a variety of tools, and as I think I talked to you recently, and I'm getting mixed up with the Google Hangout I just did, but how I've said recently that I hate all these. I hate all our autoresponders. I hate all shopping carts. There's something wrong with all of them. Yes, and even if I developed my own, I'd probably find a problem with my own.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've tried a lot of different services. I'm currently actually using, some people might be familiar with AutoResponse Plus, and now they've actually just released their new product, which AutoResponse Plus is going away, and it's ARP Reach, and it's installed onto your server, so you're not paying a monthly fee. You do have to be careful with obviously keeping it up to date and stuff like that, and that's a little more work than just updating WordPress. They do not have that one-click update. But I enjoy it as a tool, and it's super important. Obviously, email is the biggest focus in my online business. It's where the sales are made. It's how I get in touch directly with my audience, and so I definitely could not live without it. The second tool is SugarSync, which is just, and it could be, you know, for other people, it might be Mosey or something else like that. It's an online backup, automatic, anything I put onto my computer, it's automatically backed up into SugarSync. I can access those files through my iPhone, my iPad, which actually is tool number three. I don't know if that's really a tool, but I'm going to count it. Okay. and it's wonderful. Like, I can access, you know, for example, on my iPad, I have some graphics editing programs, but if I search for, I put some stock photos onto my computer looking around, I could just go in and grab them and do that. Or if I'm out and about and someone asks me something, I can go onto my iPhone and grab any file and share it with them. And I don't have to do it manually. I know a lot of people like to use Dropbox for collaboration, and I do use it a bit, but SugarSync just makes sure I don't have to think about it, because I know before I was using an external hard drive, and I still do, but and you have to remember to do that. SugarSync
right.
takes the thinking out of it, and you do have that kind of cloud access as well, which is fantastic.
Interesting. I'll have to look into that, because I use a combination of Mosey and Dropbox right now, but I'm not able to share things directly out of them from my iPad or my iPhone.
Yeah, it'll send a link. I'm surprised Mosey wouldn't do that. I would think that it did.
Unless I just haven't figured it out yet, which is always a possibility.
They're quite similar, so I haven't used Mosey, but I understand that the features
have to look. I'm using my iPad a lot more. Do you, off the top of your head, I don't want to put you on the spot, so don't feel like, you know, you have to know everything, but off the top of your head, do you have a couple favorite apps that you use on your iPad or your iPhone?
In front of me, I'll open it. I remember. Well, the SugarSync app, I'm in there all the time. I go through phases where I use the WordPress app a lot, but I've actually found that on the iPad, I just go log into my WordPress and update any posts from there. Sorry, I should have that turned off. But I do have the WordPress app on there. I also use something called Duo Mobile. Have you got that set up anywhere?
No. Tell me about it.
It allows you to set up the two-factor authentication on like WordPress, and Lynette helped us set it up for a member as well. So in order to log in to the admin area of a member, I can send a little thing to the app on my phone, and then I have to confirm that it's me trying to log in. so then I can get in. That's not a foolproof, you know, security solution, because hackers can get in other ways. But it, you know, it's one method of protection. I do use, like, you know, the social media apps. I use a lot on the digital devices, because I do really try to keep my social media separate from my computer time. So if I'm on the computer working, social media can wait, and it can be done when I'm waiting for the kids or when I'm sitting on the couch lazy.
Definitely.
But when you combine it with that work day, it can get very distracting.
I absolutely agree. And that's one of the apps I use the most on my iPad. My iPhone is a Facebook app and my Gmail app, just because I can click, if I'm sitting in the car waiting for my daughter to get out of chorus, or if I'm at the gym, I can be kind of playing around with that without having to be sitting on my butt in front of my computer to do it. So I love that.
And I've been using it's improved. I remember when they first came out, Facebook came out with their Pages app. It wasn't very impressive, but they actually show all the stats and stuff, and you can promote, you can't manage all your advertising from it, but you can promote your posts and check your stats from that and things like that. So I've been using that a bit.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for letting me tangent for a second. Okay, we'll get back to the printed questions. What is one mistake that you've made that you've learned from over the years?
Almost everybody you interview says, you know, there's so many mistakes, and each one is a learning experience. And it sounds cliche, but it's true. And it's really hard to pick one mistake. I think the more years that go by, the mistakes, even though they might be the same magnitude, they don't feel as bad. Like, I remember crying.
Oh, no.
Like, you know why the technology would go wrong? I get so upset because I felt like I didn't know. And now I've learned so much over the years through all those mistakes that I know how to handle it. Or even if I don't know how to handle it, I know there is a way to handle it, and that I can do that.
Right, that it's not the end of the world.
No.
Who was laughing at me? God, we were at NAMMS, I think, and somebody looked at me and they said, oh, Nick, your blog is down. I said, okay, thanks. And then I went back to my conversation, and they're like, you heard me, right? Your blog is down. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. We'll give it 5 minutes, see if it's just a server or whatever, and if not, I'll let my gal know. And they're like, why are you not freaking out? And I'm just thinking, you know, in the whole scheme of things, is this really, I'm not going to jump up, run out of the room and stay ahead to my computer. It's not that big of a deal to me anymore. That I think, like you said, you know, this too shall pass. And so many of the things that I freaked out about in the past have either fixed themselves or have ended up turning out for the better down the road, because it forced us to make a move or a change of some sort.
Yep. But I think one also, you know, going to actually answer the question. it's an answer that might make me sound like a hypocrite, because I keep talking about the importance of people and connections. But it, you know, in the past, like not now, but like a year or two ago, for a couple of years, I actually kind of withdrew from that. And I actually started working more in isolation, and I wasn't as open to new connections. And I don't mean I turned my back on everybody or anything like that. I just wasn't so active. I was just busy doing my own thing. And I can't say my business suffered badly for it, but I do believe, you know, it got a bit stagnant. And since I've made a more conscious effort to, you know, turn it around, start talking to people more, talking to new people, not trying to make myself sound like a snob, but it, you know, it felt like I had so much going on already that, you know, how can I possibly take on more? But things have been flourishing much more easily since I reopened that up, because it does take an effort to be social and have those connections, but that effort is still less than having to do all the hard work yourself. Like when people are promoting you or people are giving you good advice, you know, it saves us so much time that the time we spend doing the chit chat or whatever is much small. But that said, you know, I think immersing yourself into your business, like socially completely, is a mistake either. You know, a lot of people, we've talked about it a bit already, is confused messing around on Facebook for work, when we should never fool ourselves, but make sure, you know, we're creating, nurturing, and growing in important connections.
Right.
And the ones that we're going to have someday as well, the ones we have now and the ones we'll have someday.
Right. And like we always say, being busy doesn't mean you're being productive.
Yeah.
And that's basically what people do, is they get on Facebook and they're on there all day and they're being busy, but that doesn't necessarily equal monetization or a business.
No.
So, yeah, I absolutely understand what you're saying there, and I agree. Would you say there was a tipping point that got you to where you are now? And if so, what can you pin that down?
Well, I think there's been a few, and each bringing me closer to what I want to achieve. And, you know, I think even just from in 2002, it was, I feel like some things, like, for example, I don't know, you probably knew this, Dr. Kenny voice, Make Your Site Sell 2002.
Yes, I remember.
Eventually was free, and it's probably not out there anymore. That a lot of it's outdated, but I bet a lot of it is still, you know, great advice that could apply today, but I don't even know if it's out there anymore. I found it right at the beginning, and then I connected also with a gentleman named Michael Wong, who was a search engine genius at the time, and it just made such a big difference. I think that I just making those with Dr. Ken Evoy, it wasn't a personal connection. I did actually get to speak to him on the phone once, but at that time it wasn't something personal, but it was still connecting with that resource that made such a difference. And then, you know, it's also soon after that, it was the real live in-person networking, because it helped me get my name out there. It also let me receive an amazing education. I'm thinking, I'm going to just say that the tipping point is meeting people. And when I think, and it seems so far away now, like I forget the impact, but at the time it was people like Armin Morin, John Rees, and Michelle Fortin. You know, if I hadn't met them, I don't know what my path to success would have looked like. It was just being able to meet those people, learning from them, and those things that just made a huge difference.
And those are incredibly successful people. So
yeah.
You made good connections,
yes.
Definitely.
And, you know, I know a lot of people think that, too. You all have to meet, like, you know, today we have our social media stars. It's a whole different mm-hmm. group of people. It's not these marketers anymore that everyone wants to meet. And it doesn't have to be those people. It can be, you know, it's whoever, someone who can offer you something. And you have people have something to offer back, too, you know, whether it's support or even your own experience. We think that we, you know, we can't meet people because, oh, they're too big for me or whatever. But, you know, it's all through meeting, you know, you meet one person who knows another person, they introduce you, and it all grows from there.
That's actually one of the things I like so much about NAMS, is because there are so many instructors, the students get a lot more one-on-one interaction. Plus, we have 15-minute sessions that people can sign up for free.
Oh, yeah, can't wait to go in August, actually.
I can't wait for you to go. I can't wait to meet you, finally. But those are really neat, then, because the next time I go to NAMS, I see people, or they'll send me thank you cards in the mail for the 15-minute sessions, and little gifts and things. Thank you so much for looking at my site and what you said about this. You know, really made me think, or that, you know, and it's really nice compared to some of the really big conferences where
yep.
they get the speakers or instructors or whatever get, you know, snuck up on stage from the back door and then they leave through the back door so nobody can talk with them.
And that's a lot of the seminars that I did go to, they did get to be too big. And then, you know, by the time I was done going to them, it kind of felt that way. Although I still knew people specifically and some of the speakers and stuff, but it's just it was too much.
Exactly.
So I think NAMS sounds perfect. We actually talked about NAMS, one of the ladies mentioned it in the hangout today as well.
And that's one of the things I love about you, Alice, is that you are not a technical guru, just like me, you know. I'm so sorry I didn't make it onto that Google Hangout to talk about project management. I swear to God, I got the email and I went, okay, I have no idea how to get on.
I will figure it out maybe next week.
That would be great. So you guys listening, you do not have to be a technical geeky person to succeed online, because Alice and I, we're not.
And it's funny because I've learned so much. Like, the things I do by myself now is like the things that I would have been crying tears about a long time ago. But it's, you know, over time you just start to learn them. Things become more comfortable. And but still, you know, general, I still have technical trouble with these Hangouts every week. Some people tell me they can't get on, and I'm like, some people say they didn't get the invite. I'm like, oh, but you know what? It all is fine. It all works out.
It does. So now I know the next question is actually significant to you. And the question is, what advice would you give your own mother or sister or best friend to help them succeed online? And I'm going to change that to a family member so that you can share what you're doing with your kids.
So what is...
So what advice? You're working with your kids and helping them start a business. So go ahead and share about that a little bit.
Okay. So not like step-by-step kind of thing, just kind of like a tidbit.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like, what are some things you're telling your kids, and what projects are they working on, and how have you been helping them out?
Well, you know, one of the things, they have their own blogs, and they actually did write a PLR pack for me. It was a video game reviews, and I think their writing skills have improved a lot more. It was all proofread and everything, but I think they can write even more now. They're more into writing, so I'll be able to do more of that stuff with them. But my youngest son, not my youngest child, my youngest is 4, so she's not doing any of this, except for she does want to have her own cooking show. She pretends to have a cooking show. She's on YouTube. She imagines she's on YouTube. That's totally her own doing. She found it. That iPad that I got, one from you, she knows how to use YouTube. She found the cooking videos. She finds the related videos. She knew just what to do. But the boy,
oh my,
it's so cute. Yes.
That's adorable.
She's the one who kind of got me into the cake decorating, because she was so excited about it, and I'd never really done that at all. So she inspired me. But the boys, you know, the youngest son, that's what I was saying, he's going to be 10. He's always trying to think of ways how he can make money. He always wants to sell lemonade. He wants to do this. He wants to do that. Oh, if I go to Costco and I buy these candies for this much, I can sell them. And then he thinks about the internet stuff he doesn't think about as much, but he does appreciate kind of what I do, and he hasn't wrapped his head around that as much, so he's always thinking of these offline ideas. But when he does talk about stuff, sometimes he's like a typical, he approaches it like a typical salesperson, and tries to do these kind of sneaky ideas and how you trick somebody. Because I don't think he's not thinking it through. He's not. So I try to talk to him about it. But I talk to him about something that we mentioned, and it's that, you know, you have to remember, you can go online or you can start this business and you can sell a lot of stuff, but if you sell them crappy stuff and they're unhappy, they're not going to come back. That it's always better to maybe sell a little bit less to start with, and make sure that people are happy, because they're going to talk about you. They're going to tell other stuff. So that's the important thing, is that I think a lot of people, you know, see the internet as a, you know, it's a faceless thing. You can use a fake name if you want to, but you're just going to crash and burn, and starting over and over again with a different name or whatever it is not going to, it's hard. It's easier to just be that. So that is one thing we've talked about.
And it used to be back in 2006, 2007, even niche sites were where it was at. And now it's gone back to authority sites. So, you know, it's not about setting up a whole bunch of little niche sites and just hoping people land there and buy stuff. I mean, now it's, you have to build that relationship with social media, and you have to have trust and everything. You can't just hope Google will send you somebody, they'll click on something and buy, because that's not a business model.
Yep, exactly.
That's called luck.
So, I always, you know, already trying to instill in them that, it has to be for the long term, and you're there to do good. And, again, I'm not trying to say my son is a bad kid. kid.
No, he's just little.
Yeah, just little and not quite understanding. But then some of those big people don't quite understand.
Exactly.
That's figured out by the time he's older.
When he buys all the candy from Sam's Club, does it actually end up getting sold or eaten?
No. Well, that's what we didn't do it, but he had an idea. And I said, well, first of all, I said, when a kid has a lemonade stand, it's technically not legal because you don't have a license. Everybody looks the other way. But I said, but if you're going to be selling candy on the corner or trying to bring it to school, I think people are going to start to frown upon that.
See, I couldn't let my son do that because I know it would all get eaten.
Yes, too. Well, we didn't even get that far, but yes, it would be eaten.
All right, so if you had to build your business from scratch with no list, no contacts, nothing, how would you rebuild tomorrow if you had less than $100 to do it? And this is a more step-by-step question.
Then I'd build a list. I'm going to build a list. Obviously, with $100, my options are limited, but there's free autoresponders out there ones that offer trials to like 500 subscribers or something really cheap. Buy a domain, definitely get the get your own name out there. Don't start with something free. I've got $100. I'm going to use it. Cheap hosting and get my opt-in offer ready. I mean, the fastest way to start selling stuff is to have a list. And at this time, maybe I don't have my own product because I'm just getting started. So I would be offering an affiliate offer or something on the back end so I could start earning more than that $100 and hopefully afford my autoresponder once it starts growing past the 500. there's many ways to grow traffic, building SEO content, which can be slow process these days, purchase some cheap newsletter ads, something, just driving traffic to that opt-in offer and making sure it's something very valuable, very targeted. And you know what? I might have, as your question says, I have no context today, but you bet I would start making them. Even if we're a nobody with no money, which I already said, there's always something we can offer to other players in our niches, whether it's contributing to their community, just being part of their blog and being helpful or their forum, whatever it is, or their Facebook group, doing that helpful stuff gets noticed, and it's a way to start creating a more one-on-one connection. That can be a slow process, but doing some work for them or introducing them to other people, it's important to be out there meeting those people, because relationships, I said, I keep repeating myself, I'd be getting to know people, because that's how I'm going to get people to that opt-in page and how I'm going to grow that list the fastest,
because it's that important.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And the last question, and before we get to this, I want to remind everybody you're listening to Alice Seba, and I'm Nicole Dean. And to learn more about Alice, you should go to uncoveringexperts.com/Alice, and that's A-L-I-C-E. And I'll remind you one more time as we wrap up. But the last question, Alice, is what's something that's working in your business that you can share that's working right now? I mean, obviously you're going to share it right now, but what's working right now for you?
Content, people. But it's true. Now, you know what? I have to confess, I misread this question. I was prepared to answer a different question.
Well, tell me, what question were you prepared to answer?
And I actually kind of was confused at first with that question. I thought you said, what are something you're working on right now?
Okay, well then tell me something you're working on.
No,
now.
I'm going to try to answer your question. What's working? Something I have brought up in a recent – I keep talking about my Hangouts. I love these Hangouts. They're totally fun. Oh. I hate being on video, Nicole. And
is that your thing?
We're doing it every –
that's working right now?
No. No. It's just a way to connect and talk about stuff. So it's not specifically growing my business. It's the connection part. It's the – But we're doing it every Tuesday. And what – what I had brought up was, you're making me lose track of what I was going to say. I hope our laughs aren't too loud.
I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
Okay. So what was I saying? So I, I think I did lose what I was saying, but there was a different thing, so I'm going to just move on to that one. As I've been talking, this year I'm kind of battling a lot of technology. We're upgrading our order systems. As you know, I use A-Member, and we're upgrading to the new one, and it's not, it's an upgrade, but it's not, you know, totally straightforward and simple. Also working on upgrading the autoresponders and even getting rid of a lot of those front page pages this year. So, I'm putting a lot of focus into that, and it's eating up a lot of energy. And so I am also, though, as something a little bit fun, is working on a different project, and that is the food site that I have. And one thing that I've been experimenting with is some Facebook ads. And Facebook ads to grow the following, but also promoting posts and things like that, and just kind of testing out and seeing what works with that, and finding that it's I have tried it in, like, for the Contentrix Facebook page, and I actually find it a little harder in that market for myself. I am not sure if other people find it the same way, but for this one, food, which is so visual. And people get excited about, I think, a lot in the business market. People are a little bit, they're kind of jaded, and they kind of tune some of that salesy stuff out. But for the food market, I'm just finding it fantastic and so cost effective. And I'm being careful also that, you know, it's not all about getting people to like my stuff. I'm bringing the traffic to my website to get them to sign up for that mailing list and stuff like that. And it's going quite well. I was, you know, planning to go back. It's been a while since I've used Google AdWords. And I know in the past when I used it to try to build a mailing list, it was very effective at first and very inexpensive, but then it got to be quite expensive. So I'm looking at kind of just comparing a bit of that. But right now I'm very impressed with Facebook, and it's pretty cheap.
That's fabulous. Thank you for sharing that. All right, guys. So you just got to hear all about Atlas SEBA, and you need to go to uncoveringexperts.com/Alice to find out more about her PLR site and everything that she's got going on there, how to use content to grow your business. And I'm Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and you can go on over there. Be sure to sign up for updates so that you hear about all of these interviews and you don't miss a single one. Alice, thank you so much for all your help and for the fun.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for being on. I appreciate it so much. All right. Alice, Eva, you are a rock star, and listeners, you are too. See you next time.